Canada's top tech expert turns geek speak into street speak. Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hey everyone, welcome to Tech Talk. Hope you're having a great weekend so far, and thank you for making Tech Talk a small part of your day today. As I mentioned last week on Tech Talk, I was bracing for a whirlwind week ahead of me, and yep, it was a crazy week of travel. I first went to the Amazon rainforest, and I'll play you an interview from Brazil to kick off today's show in a moment about what Intel and others are doing there to help remote communities. Then I traveled to Cupertino, California to Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, WWDC, to see, among other things, its Vision Pro mixed reality headset that they unveiled. I'm sure you heard about it in the news. Well, hey, I got to try it on for more than half an hour, so I'll tell you about that experience in about 15 minutes. Then, on the back half of Tech Talk, I'll share some gadget and game gift ideas for Father's Day next weekend, June 18th. You'll see me talking on TV this week about that. And then finally, Prezi will join us on Tech Talk. This is wild presentation software. It makes PowerPoint look archaic. That's also on the show today. All of this and more on Tech Talk, powered by Epson Canada, which I'll tell you more about shortly. But let's officially kick off this week's Tech Talk with our first interview recorded in Manaus, Brazil. So as I mentioned earlier in the show, I had quite the experience last week visiting Brazil and the Amazon rainforest. Believe it or not, there's a solar hub built by Intel and some other partners like Dell, FAS, and Computer Aid out of the UK. And we had a chance to see this in action. So without further ado, I am sitting here with Ana Pena. She's communications director for Intel Americas to talk about the experience and what this technology brings to the community. First of all, it was great to spend a few days with you, Ana.
It's my pleasure to be here with you, and I think we lived something that's going to be memorable and will live forever in our hearts. It was a fantastic experience to be able to be joined by you and go to the middle of the rainforest and experience what it means to really bring technology to people and connect them to the world. This is a community of indigenous people who had been disconnected from the world for so long, and the thing is that this community is surrounded by rivers, right? And the flow of the river goes high, like 25 meters. So for some months of the year, they practically live not connected. The access is not that easy, and the boats are not that fast. And people have to walk and walk and walk long distances to be able to access. And what we did, so Intel, along with Dell, along with Computer Aid and Foundation for Sustainable Amazonas, together we created a solar community hub. So what we did was bring technology there to that community. It's computers, it's servers, it's solar panels. People have access to for two reasons. One is for e-learning, for education, and the other reason is telemedicine. So without the technology being there, they wouldn't have access to the outside world and to a doctor, to psychologists, therapists, or even to education, to professors.
All right, it's quite something to see. I think they call them containers that they bring in piece by piece. They have to bring it up from the river, which we made that trek up steep hand-built stairs, if you will. And then it was compiled and with solar power, and there is some electricity little bit as well. So you're bringing computers to this indigenous community, and I believe 12 others in the area. So it's bringing technology to them instead of them having to go to technology. So they're able to video chat with doctors and psychologists and nurses to describe their ailments and get treatment there with some of the medicine they have on site, and then also to bridge the digital divide, to give them the tools that they need, whether it's in their village or they go elsewhere to work. An obvious question here is, did they want this, right? I mean, this is an important part of it that FAS talked about. So they obviously did their homework first and spoke with this community and made sure that this is something they wanted, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was negotiation because we had to talk with the government, we had to talk with the communities. And as you saw, there's like a grandfather and a grandmother of that community. So the way that they organize themselves, very traditional. So yes, we had to speak with all the levels of government to make sure that this is something, first of all, that they wanted. and that they would contribute to. Because when you bring a technology like this or a project like this to a community, you need to make the community part of it. And that's what happened. Everyone was super involved since the beginning. And it's currently impacting 33 families that live here, but is giving service to 1,500 people. So people do walk 3 hours to get to that community, and they do spend the day over there, and they do invest time learning. In fact, we have the case of Ulises, who's the son of Anna, who leads the community, and he went abroad, let's say abroad, to study and professionalize himself, and then came back to the community, and he's now the teacher for all the children.
Yeah, we were able to see a classroom sort of in action. So we saw about 15 kids working on computers. I think some were working on Excel and others were on the internet. And yeah, the teacher was this young man who was a product of the Solar Hub when it was built 2 years ago, and he left and got some certification and came back, and this is where he wants to be. And I think that nicely answers my question about the community wanting this, because they probably have a fear that they're going to get a taste of the outside and they're going to want to leave the community. But this is an example of where they want to stay and help others.
Yes, and it's not the only case that we have of people going and coming back. There are two other people in the community that had already left and then came back also. And the architects of this project are very close to it, to what's happening. And they come back and, you know, they're making sure that this is like a sustainable project that the community is able to keep alive. Otherwise, you get rusted computers, and you know, it defies the purpose. Sure. And the purpose truly is to create technology that changes the lives of people and enriches the lives of people. And that's what's happening. That's what we actually saw.
We're, by the way, in the lobby of a hotel in Manaus, which is sort of north central Brazil, and a flight and a boat ride to the Amazon from here. And this is 4 hours north of São Paulo. And so it's a little bit noisy in the lobby that we're in, and it's pouring rain outside. I am chatting with Ana Pina. She's a communications director for Intel Americas about this solar hut built in the Amazon rainforest that we visited on Thursday. And you can read my article about it, by the way, in USA Today and see some photos. I loved how they personalized the hut by having the local community paint pictures on the wall.
Yeah, and you know what? When the containers got into the Amazonian rainforest, what the community did was put wood around it to protect it and put isopor. So the way that they regularly protect the houses and their constructions, they did that. And then they painted it and everyone put their hands and they built like a flushing system because they built bathrooms along with it, right? So you have two bathrooms right there for the people using the computers. And also they planted around it. And there's now a project for cleaning water associated to the community. So, you know, the impulse is there and it's starting to make the community thrive and evolve.
Yes. Like you said yesterday, it's planting the seed for future generations on a few levels, quite literally and figuratively. I was interested to hear of one story. Someone asked about an example of telemedicine. Someone said that there was an older man in their community who was very unwell, too unwell to travel to the closest city by boat to find out what was wrong. It turned out he had severe pneumonia, but it was his first time seeing a screen. You know, he was telling a doctor his symptoms and they were able to prescribe him antibiotics, which cured him. But that was a great example of from last year. That's quite moving.
Yeah, it was. And let me clarify. So you and I and the rest of the Intel team and the Dell team, we got to go in a private plane and then do a boat ride in a very fast boat. This is not the reality for the community. Like, they live there. And if they want to get medical attention in the traditional way, they have to go in a boat ride that will last 2 or 3 hours. And then they have to get in line. They have to get in line in Manicoré, which is like the city that's the closest. And they were telling me that and sometimes it will take 2 or 3 days for them to get the attention because they have to stand in line. So it's complicated, and this is making it easier for them. Even the transportation of medication, sometimes the medication will come to them and they will not have to go into the capital because it costs money and it costs time and resources.
Yeah. Amazing. So, and we should mention that there is universal health care in Brazil, but it is a matter of getting to a city big enough and then having to wait in line, like you were saying. But when they do speak to doctors or psychologists and nurses over the internet, it is all covered for them, which is wonderful. Talk to me a little bit, please, about Intel's involvement. I don't think this is your first solar hub in Brazil or elsewhere. I think there's some where you're based in Mexico City. So what was sort of the impetus for this? What was the motivation for Intel to get involved?
So I love to tell this story. This is a product of the pandemic. So when the pandemic hit, Intel destined some money to fund world-changing projects. So you had to submit the project, and some of them got approved, some of them didn't. But the best projects, the ones that had a true impact in humanity, those were the ones who got approved. And this one was one of them. And I'm very proud to say that this project came through my communications team. It was my very own team who spoke with the folks at Dell. And they said, okay, we have this together, let's do it. And let's power it and let's put funding behind it. And let's have two big companies like Dell and Intel doing this together. And the project is very close to my heart because before managing communications for Intel, I was managing communications for Dell for 10 years. And it's the fulfillment of the purpose of the two companies, world-changing technology.
Well, congratulations, Anna. No doubt it's super rewarding for you. I could see it on your face. It was so amazing to see it. That's an understatement, to see it with my own eyes and talk with the people that benefit from the Solar Hub, people that work there, and walking around the community as a whole, this small village that's all built around the solar hut in the Amazon rainforest. Congratulations again. Thank you so much for carving out some time to talk with us today.
And thank you for making the time to come with us. It was a life-changing experience. I'm very happy that we got to experience it together. Thank you, Mark.
We'll be right back with more Tech Talk. Stick with us.
Canada's top tech expert. Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back to Tech Talk, powered by Epson EcoTank, one of the biggest innovations in the printer space to date. If you have not yet heard of the EcoTank family of all-in-one printers, which of course are also scanners and copiers, out of the box, they ship with up to 2 years worth of ink. When it's time to buy more ink, they're in bottles instead of cartridges, saving you up to 80%. Epson EcoTank printers work wirelessly with all your devices. Check out Epson EcoTank printers in store now or online at epson.ca/ecotank. All right, so I got a lot of questions from listeners about the Apple event I attended earlier in the week. I was at WWDC, or WWDC as they call it. It's an acronym for Worldwide Developer Conference. But this year, the star of the show was hardware. No doubt you've heard Apple officially took the wraps off its Apple Vision Pro. This is the company's first wearable spatial computing device, as they call it. So for this segment, I did want to talk about the Apple Vision Pro. In case you didn't read my hands-on piece for USA Today, not only is this ski goggle-shaped mixed reality headset Apple's biggest product since Apple Watch debuted in 2015, but it's easily its most ambitious. It's been in development for multiple years and tied to more than 5,000 patents. It's going to be available in early 2024 in the US only to start. Canada will follow perhaps later next year. And the price is an astounding $3,500 US to start. Yes, this is not for those without deep pockets, but I'll get to all of that in due time. So even if you could afford it, is it any good? Well, at WWDC, I did have a chance to wear and use Vision Pro for about 30, 35 minutes and run through several applications that fused augmented reality, where you can see digital information overlaid on top of the real world around you, with virtual reality, realistic imagery that fully envelops your field of vision and tied to head tracking, kind of like a Meta Quest headset. All right, price notwithstanding, I would go on record to agree with Apple that the Vision Pro is the most advanced personal electronics device ever. That's a huge statement. Again, price aside, this was amazing stuff. And yes, unfortunately, it has a little battery pack to power the glasses that you just keep beside you or slip it into your pocket or something. But at least at this stage in the game, the pros still outweigh the cons. So let's chat. What was it like to wear Apple Vision Pro? All right, so I sat on a couch in a small room flanked by an Apple employee in chairs on each side of me, and they guided me through the Vision Pro demo from start to finish. As discussed during the keynote at the Worldwide Developer Conference, the new Vision OS, or operating system, features a fully three-dimensional user interface, and it's controlled in three ways, with your eyes, your voice, and your hands. With your eyes, they are tracked with inward-facing sensors on this headset. With your voice, you can control things, and it includes Siri, of course, but I did not get a chance to try that. That was not enabled for the demo. And then with your hands, it works in a few ways. You can do finger gestures. For me, it was my left hand resting kind of on my leg. They taught us how to tap and swipe using your fingers to control the content that I'm seeing through the headset. You can twist a digital crown knob on the side of the headset, similar to the dial on Apple Watch on the right side. There's also support for an optional wireless Magic Keyboard or trackpad, but that was not part of my demo either. Now, putting on Vision Pro was similar to other virtual reality headsets for the most part. You place it over your eyes and you tighten the head straps so it fits nice and snug. I did find it comfortable, but it was not as light as the PlayStation VR 2 or PSVR 2 headset that came out a few months ago. A small battery pack, about the size of two iPhones stacked, is tethered to the headset for power, and it stayed beside me on the sofa while I was seated. After a bit of calibration for eye and hand tracking, the home view screen magically floated in the room I was seated in. So it's kind of magical. It's kind of like, you know, your home screen for your iPhone, complete with familiar app icon bubbles like Safari and Photos and Apple TV and more. And when you simply look at a specific app, don't forget there's eye tracking, it magically becomes highlighted. So that icon is highlighted. And then you just pinch your fingers to select it. So the interface was very intuitive. I opened up Safari and I found reading small text on websites was surprisingly clear. All right, onto photos and videos. I opened the Photos app and I viewed a number of high-resolution images with incredible clarity. No doubt, thanks to the headset's twin displays totaling 23 million pixels, which is more than 4K resolution. And the room automatically dimmed around these crisp images for added immersion. I also saw some really wide panoramic shots of Iceland and Oregon's coast. One of the most impressive parts of the demo, by far, was seeing spatial photos and videos captured by the Vision Pro headset. And that included scenes of kids blowing out birthday cake and another one with some friends hanging out. It truly looked 3D, like really being there. Lets you then relive those memories long after you captured them with the same realistic depth. No VR headset I've tried can do anything like this. So this is all possible as the Vision Pro has 12 cameras, 5 sensors, and 6 microphones. My next demo was equally as mind-blowing. It was a live FaceTime call with someone in another room. You likely know FaceTime is like a video call with friends. You can do it on your iPhone or iPad or Mac. But with Vision Pro, the person I was chatting with was represented by a digital avatar, or what Apple calls a persona, that looked just like her, but it was first digitally captured. They captured her face, and then it's animated in real time with her actual facial and body expressions. So it looked like the real woman I was talking to, but it was a virtual version of her, if you will, but all her expressions were in real time. I asked her if I can see what I looked like to her, but she explained that I would first need to scan my face and go through this process that was not part of the demo. Ah, well. My FaceTime friend then launched a freeform screen for me to see. It's kind of like a shared whiteboard, and she demonstrated what collaboration may look like in the future, and not just with flat images, but 3D objects too, including a rendered three-dimensional room in a home that she was expanding and shrinking and rotating with her fingers. Now, before I continue, I should note multitasking seemed intuitive in Vision Pro, as you can drag windows around and place them around you and simply look with your eyes or move your head if you need to select what you want. The second last demo consisted of what's called environments, which are full screen relaxing videos tied to head tracking, like a virtual reality experience. And I also sat through a 1 minute mindfulness session with a soothing voice, the British accent, and 3D images to focus on. Finally, for some entertainment, we launched an underwater 3D demo of Avatar 2, Way of the Water, which turned my mock living room into a personal movie theater. You can select how big you want the virtual screen to be. And again, the outside environment kind of melts into black. All right, so the most impressive thing I saw as I mentioned, were those spatial photos and videos. The second most impressive part of the Vision Pro demo was called Apple Immersive Video. This was a collection of demos featuring incredibly realistic 180-degree views of various scenes of nature, a woman tightrope walking between mountains, underwater scenes. We saw samples of sports games like baseball, soccer, and basketball. There was a train that was plowing through a snow-covered track and a lot more. In a word, wow. I mean, I've seen a lot of VR, virtual reality, in my day, but not with this much clarity and depth. The last demo was interactive. It was a dinosaur experience that they asked me to get up and walk around. And then this giant 3D dino followed me around the room, which was kind of neat. Again, the detail, like the skin, I was like right up against its nose and the skin was amazing. And before that, they had this like fluttering butterfly that was supposed to land on my outstretched hand. Again, it's supposed to be interactive. That didn't work, but still cool nonetheless. All right, so what's the verdict on Apple Vision Pro? I have to say, trying out Apple technology that won't be available for another year was extraordinary. I mean, it really is a magical experience. I will give them that. The user interface was graceful and intuitive, and the applications are seemingly endless for work and play. Yes, the concerns over price are real, and Apple no doubt knows this isn't going to be a mass market product at $3,500. I wouldn't say they're tone deaf, to use that expression, by working on something most people can't afford, as Apple is clearly investing in what's possible for the future. Will it flop? Who knows? But Apple isn't just dipping its toe here in the spatial computing space. They're diving in headfirst. And from a technology standpoint, it was super impressive. I understand that not everybody wants to wear a headset. That's a good point. And I get that some people think technology like this may encourage less human interaction, similar to the concerns over the metaverse that Mark Zuckerberg was so bullish about over the last year and a bit. So look, it's not going to be for everyone. And then finally, yeah, requiring an external battery that lasts only up to 2 hours isn't ideal either. But hey, don't forget, this is a generation one product. And if any company can figure out how to improve battery management, it's Apple. Think of how much the iPhone has evolved over the years. This category is in its infancy. So to sum it up, as someone who has been reviewing tech for nearly 30 years, consider me super excited about Apple Vision Pro. Only after I had the demo, when I saw the keynote, I was like, yeah, it's cool. But it wasn't until I experienced it with my own eyes that I really got it. Skeptics, and there are many, should at least reserve judgment until they get a chance to try it out for themselves as well. Who knows when that will be, if Apple's going to even allow the general public to try it out. I guess those who buy this in a year from now are going to be deep-pocketed early adopters that are willing to take a leap of faith because it's Apple. When we return on Tech Talk, gadget and game gift ideas for dads and grads, including affordable and colorful Amazon smart speakers. We'll be right back. Stick with us.
Whether you're shopping around or looking for the on button, he can help. Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
All right. So as I told you off the top of the show, I had quite the week where I was in Brazil with Intel, visiting that very remote community in the middle of the Amazon rainforest to see Intel's solar community hub that they built with some partners and all the work they did there. We played that interview this hour. I also went to Cupertino, California, where the Apple WWDC or Worldwide Developer Conference was held. Learning all about new, not just operating systems, but new hardware like the Vision Pro mixed reality headset. And then on Wednesday, I started chatting on TV about gadget and game gift ideas for dads and grads, right? Father's Day is coming up Sunday, June 18th, and graduation season is upon us. So I wanted to share some ideas with you, the ones that I showed on TV. And if you Google my name, Mark Saltzman, MarkSaltzman, you'll be able to see some of these products in action. So let me walk you through some of my favorites for this year. Let's start off with the hottest game on the planet, Nintendo's The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. You've probably seen people waiting in line on TV about this game. You know, this is the latest in the beloved and iconic franchise, The Legend of Zelda. And this new game is an epic journey starring Link, of course, but lets you carve out your own path. You can build an experiment to create your own spin on the adventure. I was beside somebody on an airplane coming back from California, and he was playing the same level that I beat a couple weeks earlier, but he was approaching things in a completely different way, which is very cool. It's getting great reviews as well. So it's $89 for the Nintendo Switch, that super versatile gaming system that you can play on the go or at home by docking it on your big screen TV. And if you don't have a console yet, the Nintendo Switch OLED model, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom Edition, it's $469. 1989. It has that beautiful screen and it's adorned with all the Legend of Zelda artwork on the outside. Very cool stuff. And if you are shopping for a Nintendo Switch owner, another great gift idea is the gift of memory or storage. SanDisk micro SD cards are great for storing games and other media, and they do have a license with Nintendo. So there's a 64 gigabyte Yoshi card for only $20 and a huge 1 terabyte micro SD card tied to The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, complete with a Hylian crest on it, and that's 1,000 gigabytes to store all of your digital content. You will not run out of room so easily with something that big. Amazing. All in the same size of your fingernail. These are fast cards as well. The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom 1 terabyte card is $199. All right, let's now talk productivity for dads and grads. For those on the go, they will no doubt love the HP Envy X360. It's a perfect 2-in-1 touchscreen laptop for work or play with its gorgeous up to 4K touchscreen in sizes 13, 15, 16, or 17 inches. You can choose. And it's called the Envy X360, not just because someone will be envious if you have this, but the 360 refers to the 360-degree hinge. So you can bend back the screen and use it like a tablet when you no longer need the keyboard and trackpad, or use a digital pen with it, or your fingertip, or your voice. It's super versatile, powered by an Intel Core processor, so super fast performance. It also has a lot of security. So this HP laptop has a built-in webcam shutter, so you can manually close the lens when you don't want to be seen. There's a mute microphone button and a fingerprint reader for logging on securely. Prices start at $1,299 for the HP Envy X360. Speaking of versatility, calling the Kobo Elipsa 2e and e-reader would be a huge understatement. Yes, it does have a gorgeous and massive 10.3 inch touchscreen with Comfort Light Pro to reduce blue light and ease eye strain while reading ebooks, but it's also the ultimate note-taking device for writing out and organizing your notebooks. So these digital notebooks stored inside of this super thin device that you bring with you on the go, it can convert your handwriting into text. You can mark up PDFs or write on ebook pages, you know, like making notes in the margins or circling or underlining certain content that you want to revisit or share with somebody. You can export your notebooks to the cloud for easy convenience, something you can read then on another device. And not only does it support ebooks, which you can buy or borrow through your local library, but you can also listen to audiobooks on the Kobo Elipsa 2e with Bluetooth headphones or a Bluetooth speaker. And then finally, it was made with ocean-bound plastic, so very eco-friendly. The Kobo Elipsa 2e is $499, and you can buy it at Indigo or Kobo.com. A couple of other suggestions when it comes to big screen entertainment. Roku smart TVs are a great gift for dads and grads, and they start at only $328. I was showing a 55-inch model on TV called the On 4K HDR smart TV. On is spelled, by the way, .onn. And it too gives you a lot of bang for the buck for under $500. It's $498. So it's got that 4K resolution screen. That's 4 times the resolution of a 1080p image. Access to countless streaming services, including Roku's own and exclusive Roku channel, which is free, as well as, you know, Netflix and Amazon Prime Video and Apple TV Plus and Disney Plus and so on. There are multiple HDMI ports and an easy to use remote and many other features as well. So again, Roku TV started only $328. This one is the larger 55-inch on TV powered by Roku at under $500. For an even bigger picture, up to 300 inches, in fact, that's 4 times the size of a 75-inch flat TV, by the way, the compact Epson Epic Vision Flex Smart Portable Projector can be brought between the family room and the boardroom. So great for giving presentations to your colleagues or clients, and then just throw it in your backpack. And when you bring it home, you can watch sports or play games or stream TV shows and movies with it. So great for your 9-to-5 work life or your 5-to-9 downtime. It delivers a full HD 1080p picture with high brightness at 3000 lumens. And as I mentioned, you can also stream content from your favorite services built in already. Epson calls this device perfect for business, epic for play. It's $819. And it's also great for those who may have a summer home, like a cottage or a cabin, as you can bring it from place to place. Again, that's called the Epson Epic Vision Flex Smart Portable Projector. And finally, Amazon has a pair of new devices that they just launched that won't break the bank at just $54.99. So less than $55, the Echo Pop is the latest Amazon smart speaker powered by Alexa with new colors like lavender and teal. Among them, very cool looking devices. It has a new form factor with loud and full sound. Of course, you can ask Alexa a question or give it a command like controlling your smart home devices. And also, if you have an Eero mesh system at home, that's a Wi-Fi network that's EERO. It is owned by Amazon. These Echo Pop smart devices have built-in Eero support. It can extend your wireless coverage up to 1,000 square feet per speaker. So it's a nice added benefit to broadening or expanding your Wi-Fi in and around your home. Love it. Also from Amazon, the Echo Auto second generation. It's under $75. And as the name suggests, it brings hands-free Alexa to your car. So you can play music, place calls, answer text messages, and more, all by using your voice safely. So your hands stay at the wheel, 10 and 2 or 9 and 3, however you were taught to drive. And it connects to your Alexa app on your phone. But you hear everything through your car speakers. And there's different ways you can connect it as well. Very cool. That's Amazon Echo Auto for under $75. So as you can see, no shortage of great gadget and game gift ideas for dads and grads starting at $20, going all the way up to $12.99. So based on your budget or however many people are going in for that gift, you can always hit me up on social media if you have questions about it. Again, it's Mark Saltzman, MarkSaltzman. And I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok. Before we continue on with the show, a shout out to LG Canada. Thank you for your continued support on this program. LG Canada has its award-winning Ergo line of monitors. These are ergonomic monitors, of course, where you can experience a more comfortable, more flexible desktop setup. Ergo design brings an innovative ergonomic arm to fit your needs. Secure the stand, monitor, and clamps with its C-clamp, one-click mount, and simple cable management in seconds. Easily adjust the pivot, height and tilt, and work with improved posture and productivity at home or at the office. Again, that's the LG Ergo line of monitors at lg.ca. Before we continue on with this show, I do want to remind our listeners that while we often talk about new gadgets on this program, it's important to properly recycle your old tech, your end-of-life electronics, and it's never been easier to do it. Simply visit recyclemyelectronics.ca, type in your postal code or your address, and you'll find one of many drop-off locations near you. It could be a retailer, a community center, a school, and so on, and there's no cost to drop it off. By responsibly recycling your end-of-life electronics, you're keeping them out of the waste stream, and you're helping to recover and recycle valuable resources, which can then be put back into manufacturing. When it comes to your devices, the future is literally in your hands. Don't let it go to e-waste. That website, again, is recyclemyelectronics.ca. Oh, and if you forget to remove all your personal information from a phone or tablet or computer, they take care of all that for you. When we return on Tech Talk, we're going to chat with Prezi. Have you ever seen someone give a presentation using Prezi presentation software? It will blow you away. So we're going to learn all about it when we return. Stick with us on Tech Talk.
Get the most out of your gadgets. Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk Radio. CJAD 800.
Welcome back to Tech Talk, powered by Epson EcoTank, one of the biggest innovations in the printer space to date. If you have not yet heard of the EcoTank family of all-in-one printers, which of course are also scanners and copiers, out of the box, they ship with up to 2 years worth of ink. When it's time to buy more ink, they're in bottles instead of cartridges, saving you up to 80%. Epson EcoTank printers work wirelessly with all your devices. Check out Epson EcoTank printers in store now or online at epson.ca/ecotank. For those who create presentations for colleagues or clients or maybe classmates, or maybe it's your livelihood, as keynote speeches are part of mine, in fact, maybe you use Microsoft PowerPoint or Apple Pages, maybe Google Slides to create and deliver a presentation. But one that I've been using for several years and something that I get a lot of questions and compliments about from the audience after my talks is Prezi. It's a much more visually engaging and powerful tool for presenters, I'd argue. This is no death by PowerPoint, as the expression goes. Joining us to tell us all about Prezi is its CEO, Jim Safransky. Hi, Jim. Thanks so much for your time.
Hello, Mark.
Hoping to have you on the show for quite a while, so this is a real treat. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Why don't we jump right in? At a high level, what is Prezi all about? And for our listeners, it's P-R-E-Z-I.
Yeah, like Saltzman with a Z.
Right, or Safransky with an S-Z, but let's not go there. But yeah.
So Prezi. Prezi is about connecting humans through their stories, right? And now we do this through presentation software that unlocks kind of the key to keeping people's attention, which we can talk about, but it allows our users to ultimately just have better meetings, better conferences, better websites or keynotes, like you mentioned, Mark, and better classroom experiences. So it's presentation software that connects humans through their stories and keeps everyone's attention.
You know, I used Prezi as recent as Wednesday night. I gave a keynote speech at a conference called Retail Revolution. And once again, I'm asked, you know, what was that? What was that software you were using? That was no PowerPoint. And I always laugh and say, yeah, it's Prezi. And I tell them to pull it up on their phone and to check it out for themselves. I would agree with you, Jim, that it's a much more visually dynamic tool than the competitors out there. I know this is radio. So is there a way that you can verbally explain what we're talking about with the kind of animation and 3D effects that Prezi offers?
Yeah, I'll give it a go. And I agree, it's much more visually dynamic. And if I could expand on that, what makes Prezi work so well, creating the audience engagement and understanding, is that it's designed to work the way our brain works. So here's where I'll give it a go over radio, which is, for instance, if you try right now to think about five things in your kitchen, probably yourself, anyone in the audience, you're not thinking about a bullet list, right? You're visualizing your actual kitchen, right? In three-dimensional. Mm-hmm. Like, and as you move around that space in your brain, you're probably listening out like, there's my sink. And then to the left of my sink is my refrigerator. To the right of my sink is my stove. And so you start listing out, what's in your kitchen, but not in bullet form, right? As humans, we retain and recall information spatially, like this example. And that's how Prezi works. You know, by presenting the relationship between your content, your ideas, next to each other spatially.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way of putting it. When I give my chats, I often have like these key ideas, and then the camera, if you will, zooms from one to another, often zooming in. So not just laterally or, you know, sideways, but zooming in and then pulling back out and then zooming into another part of my presentation. So it really does keep people's attention. Of course, it doesn't replace good content. So it's not to suggest that it's all eye candy and no substance. And I love the templates that you can choose from, or you can go at it on your own. And I'm self-taught, Jim. I'm by no means an expert when it comes to the software part of a presentation. I've been giving keynotes for over a decade, but I found that I was able to teach myself how to use Prezi. It's really sort of logical. You can add a photo or a video, you can add text and choose the path along the left-hand side. Really intuitive. Prezi is the company, it's the name of the software, but there are different kinds of Prezi software. Can you explain the differences between Prezi Present, Prezi Video, Prezi Design, and I think there might be even others?
Yeah, those three are a great place to start. And the original and core product is what we call Prezi Present. And this is for the traditional presentation moments, like the one you mentioned, like a keynote talk, mm-hmm. Or in-person meetings, conferences, classrooms. Another of our products is called Prezi Design. Now, and this is for anyone publishing content on the web in scrollable web pages. So it's used heavily by newspapers, consultancies, governments, students. And rounding out the suite is Prezi Video. Now, what Prezi Video does is it takes the core Prezi presentation and transforms it to work beautifully over video conferencing. And this has been a major growth area for Prezi as we anticipated the need for a built-for-purpose video presentations back in 2019 is when we launched it. And we were well-positioned to help our users and attract many new ones during the pandemic when everyone was working from home over video. Mm-hmm. And so what Prezi Video allows you to do is present more like a newscaster over video conferencing. So it works alongside things like Microsoft Teams or Zoom. Yeah. And you aren't hidden by your screen-shared content. And this has been, you know, very successful for us. And last year, we were even named Zoom Software Partner of the Year.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say that Prezi can be used in person or online just as easily. However, you're asked to deliver a talk, whether you're picture in picture with yourself on there with your webcam capturing you, or you're standing on a stage and using a clicker to advance through the, I'll call them slides. But again, I don't want my listeners to think this is flat PowerPoint. We are chatting with Prezi's CEO, Jim Szafranski. We're learning all about the presentation tools like Prezi Present, and that's the spiritual successor to Prezi Classic.
Exactly.
And who, Jim, would you say is Prezi really designed for?
Yeah, our audience, our target for, you know, of who we design this for is anyone who wants to engage their audience meaningfully. So we tend to serve the needs of people out there trying to change something, trying to hit a goal, have a project they're trying to present and wrap up, which ultimately means we have users across the business, educational, and government sectors who have a presentation that they care a lot about and they want to do well with it. And what's been really interesting for us, you know, when we talk about our users is, you know, the word of mouth and the goodwill that these users create when they use Prezi. You mentioned this earlier that people ask you, you know, what was that? And that's brought Prezi now to over 140 million users because exactly what you had said, audiences often ask just, how did you do that?
That's a huge milestone. I mentioned adding video, Jim, to the presentation, which I'm a fan of. I don't sit and watch it with the audience. Of course, I talk over it. Why don't we end off with a non-techie question, Jim? Do you have any advice for those who are very nervous while presenting? I think that's like still in the top, you know, three of the most top fears among many, certainly business persons.
I'll share a story. I remember early in my career being on stage in front of a couple hundred colleagues and just freezing up to the point that I actually apologized on stage to the audience for messing up my talk. And I remember afterwards, my boss and mentor kind of shared with me that I didn't need to apologize. And the point was because no one knew what I meant to say or was going to say.
Yeah.
Only I did. And so he suggested just, you know, in those moments, collect myself, continue on, and that I'm on stage because I have something good to share. So I think that'd be my advice. Just remind yourself, people want to hear what you have to say. And when your nerves are getting you, slow it down. Pauses are really okay and typically only noticed by you. And then collect yourself and remind yourself that the audience wants to hear you. And normally that gets your confidence up and you do a good job.
That's great. I like that. Better than the, you know, imagine the audience in their underwear. But I guess that can still work too.
Yeah. Yeah. And practice doesn't hurt, but I didn't want to say that.
Yeah. Practice is key. And, you know, as a techie, you know, I always try to remember that the audience probably doesn't know as much as I do. All right. So let's end off with where we can learn more about Prezi and how to get going.
The great thing about trying Prezi is it's available for free right off our website with no software to install. So if you visit Prezi.com, you can get going.
All right. And it's spelled P-R-E-Z-I. So Prezi.com. Our guest has been Jim Szafranski, CEO of the company. It's been great chatting with you, Jim. Please keep up the great work. I'm a huge fan of the brand, as you could probably tell. And it's been really great to chat with you today. Thanks again.
Thanks, Mark.
And thank you, Tech Talk listener, for tuning into Tech Talk. Hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to let me know on social media what you thought of my interviews about the Amazon Rainforest with Intel, my take on Apple's Vision Pro mixed reality headset, those recommended gadget and game gift ideas for dads and grads. And if you have any questions or comments about Prezi, that next generation presentation software, you can hit me up on social media. It's Mark Saltzman, M-A-R-C-S-A-L-T-Z-M-A-N. And I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok. Or you can go to marksaltzman.com and send me an email from there. All right, Montreal, have a fantastic rest of your Saturday, a stellar weekend. And I look forward to catching up with you next weekend for another episode of Tech Talk. Bye-bye for now.